This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
You know, everyone wants to be happy. But I've noticed that most people are looking to someone else to bring the happiness to them. See, the Bible says in Galatians 6:4, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So notice that this verse says that happiness does not start around you. It begins inside you. So let's stop waiting for the flowers to arrive, and instead let's start cultivating the seeds that are inside of us. So here's a question. Do you feel good about yourself? If not, why don't you? What bad news have you believed about yourself? In the Bible, see, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. So is the devil using a past failure in your life to destroy your faith? I want to share a secret with you. If Satan is using the same old failure from your past over and over again, be encouraged. It simply means he's running out of material. He's got to keep bringing that old stuff up. Don't let past memories and past hurts chain you to a prison of defeat. Dare to resist. Dare to resist the hurts and the disappointments of yesterday. See, this is so important because your happiness is a direct result of feeling good about yourself. And your sense of worth and value, it determines just how good you really feel. You see, feeling good or happiness depends on two things. Number one, your relationships, and number two, your achievements. Did you get that? Your happiness depends on your relationships and your achievements. Your relationships, see, are extremely important because it's estimated that at least 90% of life is relational. The Creator, our God, established the need for relationships, because relationships satisfy two huge needs of the human heart, and that is the need to receive love and the need to release love. I didn't say two wants. Those are two needs of the human heart. You see, we were built for connection with other people. We have an inborn craving to make contact. That's why the hurt and wounded divorce victim still reaches out one more time to risk love. Risking the possibility of emotional damage. Something in us reaches for another, even against our mental will sometimes. In the same way, see, a God relationship is a must. You'll find, let's say this, you will find you'll never have true fulfillment without the God relationship. I don't care who you are. I don't care what people tell you. Without the God relationship, you'll never have true fulfillment. See, it was God who created you, and God knows you inside and out. He's read every single sentence in your mind before you ever say it. He's also created you with a void inside that can only be filled, only be satisfied by a relationship with Him. But please note this, relationship depends upon your receiving Him for who He is. He is the master of the universe. Now, if you don't receive Him as that, it won't work. Oh, there are lots of people who would like to have God serve them. But our primary purpose in this relationship we have with God is not to discover how to get from God what we want, No, not to get God to do what we want. Our goal must be to do what He wants, so He will look good. We are to use our lives to glorify Him. Right? We weren't first, and then God came along to satisfy us. No, no, He was first. He created us to glorify Him. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm glad. We learned last week that we always move in the direction of our most dominant thought. And if you'll open your Bibles or look up here on the screen, Romans 12:2, I'd like for us all to read this together. Will you do that? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So what are we not to be? Conformed to this world, right? Now what the scripture said? And what part of us has the power to keep us from being conformed to this world? Our mind. And what will the renewing of our mind do? It will transform us, won't it? It was be re-transformed by the renewing of your mind. You guys awake? Are you tracking here? Don't just let my voice sound like that. You don't hear what I'm saying. You need to listen to all the words I'm saying. And if somebody next to you jumped right then, good. They're awake now. There are also key truths that were given last Sunday, several of them. Let's see if you remember them. Who is glorified when we are blessed? God is glorified when we are blessed. Yeah, that's good. How about this one? God loves us all the same, but He does not bless us all the same, right? Then last week I began sharing with you 7 steps to success. You remember? Step 1 is obedience. A key truth in this area is every act of obedience is connected to a future blessing, and every act of disobedience is connected with a future disaster. Step 2 I talked about was knowledge. Not just know stuff. We need to know the master of the stuff. And we need to know what the scriptures say about the blessings that we're reaching for. We're supposed to be reaching for these blessings. What are they? Now, step 3 in being successful was visualization. This is picturing yourself as a winner. We went through that, talked about how we're not saying that you're to just name it and claim it, or gab it and grab it, or anything. That's not the idea. The idea is, though, visualize yourself like Jesus. See, everything we talk about here is based on Jesus. Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. Jesus visualized Himself not on the cross, after the cross. So we too. So that brings us up to date. However, before I give you numbers 4, 5, 6, and 7, I want to clarify, this is very important, what success is in God's eyes. Revelation 4:11, we can read this powerful praise that said, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created everything, and it is for Your pleasure that they exist and were created." So why does everything exist? Why were we created? For His pleasure. Do you feel less than you were before? Suddenly you thought you were the big deal? No, we were not created for our pleasure. We were created for His pleasure. Philippians 2:13 says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey Him and the power to do what pleases Him." Another version translates it like this way, to will and to work for His good pleasure. The NIV says it like this, "It is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." So what should be our desire? Why is God working in us? So we will act according to his purpose. So we will do what pleases him. That's why you get to continue sucking air. What the Bible, God's, that's why you're here. That's why I'm here. I don't know what else you thought we were here for, but that's why we're here. God, who made us, said, let me in. Let me tell you why I made you. Nobody knows why he made us except him. And he's telling us, so we will know why. So when we're talking here, last week and this week, when we're talking about steps to success, we're talking about steps to being successful in pleasing God. We're not talking about pleasing ourselves. That would be selfish. We are talking about pleasing God, and it pleases him to bless us. I want to say this again slowly and make certain we're all getting our minds around this. It's so critical to our understanding. Oh, Lord, help our understanding. Are you ready? I encourage you to write this down. If you haven't written anything down, this would be good. We should desire God's blessings.
Amen.
Why? Because God is pleased when we're blessed. Not because we are pleased when we're blessed. Are you going to be pleased when you're blessed? Probably, but that's not why we do it. We're doing it so he will be pleased. You see, his pleasure is my heart's desire. I obey him because it pleases him. I position myself to receive God's blessings. Why? Because it brings him pleasure. It's like, we always relate this back to our family situation. We have children. Your children, your little children, when they're little kids, they like making mommy and daddy happy. They see what pleases you and they want to do that. You say that, and you, so when they do something right, commend them. Talk about that. Yeah, they want to do that. And they get real discouraged if they don't think they can please you. And if you keep on with that, you'll find out when they get to be a little older, you'll be teenagers, that they'll give up trying to please you because they don't think they ever can. And then you won't like what happens because they just give up. But it's the same way with God. He is pleased when we're pleased. And as parents, we love it when the kids, we like the kid to be pleased. We want to bless our kids. Like I've told you before, I've told my kids, I want to say yes to everything you ever ask me. Always, I want to say yes. As long as it's good for you. As long as it won't hurt you. As long as I don't know something about it that's not good. But you need to trust me that I will not withhold any good thing from you. And God is the same with us. He's not going to withhold from us. He loves us. He cares about us as long as we position ourselves correctly. And unfortunately, sometimes my kids would do things that would make it impossible for me to give them what I wanted to give them because they just would not act appropriately. They would not position themselves appropriately. They weren't grateful. They had something else. And I said, I'm so sad. I really wanted to let you go. But because you lied to me or because you did this or whatever, I have to say no. Do you see? That's why he is with God. God wants to bless us. So the purpose of this teaching, what we're doing here, is to help us know the steps we need to take in order to be in position to receive. Because that pleases him. I haven't confused you, have I? Okay. Then here we go. Step number 4 in the steps to success is forgiveness. I think we've all seen a bumper sticker that says, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. But we need to add this. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven and forgiving. God is best imitated when we forgive. He is a forgiving God. But just what is forgiving? I'm asking this because I've found that many people have misunderstood what forgiveness actually is. And it's critically important that we have a clear understanding because if Listen, if we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us. So it's really important that we get this. Now, before I define what forgiveness is, let me share just a few things that forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Hey, if you could forget it, there'd be no need to forgive, right? You wouldn't even remember it. Forgive what? Also, forgiveness is not excusing. See, to make excuses for someone is really avoiding the truth. And forgiveness is not smoothing things over. Let's just agree to disagree, all that stuff. All this does is postpone the problem. Didn't resolve anything. All right, Pastor, so what is forgiveness? Okay, forgiveness is this. Forgiveness is giving up your right to hurt back. A lot in that sentence. I have a right to hurt you back. Because you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. But I'm giving that up. We all feel we have this built-in right to hurt back, don't we? And forgiveness is just simply giving up that right. Did you know that at least 60% of all organic difficulties are caused by mental anguish? That's a fact. And obviously, grudges and hatred and unforgiveness create great emotional and mental stress. So who have you forgiven lately? The Bible says there are no limits as to who we should forgive or how many times we should forgive them. It may surprise you to learn that many times people won't forgive themselves. See, those with a poor self-image are more likely to have this problem. And even more surprising, many people are holding unforgiveness toward God. But you see, forgiveness is a necessity of life. And do you understand the word necessity? Necessity means necessary. It means something that's required. And forgiveness is a necessity. I can guarantee you this. You will never be a success. You'll never receive God's benefits and blessings if you fail to take this critical step. It's necessary. It is required. You must give away the forgiveness that was given to you. Now, if you feel like God hasn't forgiven you, then just start forgiving others, and then you too will receive God's forgiveness. Step number four is forgiveness. Step number five to succeed is persistence. This simply means you need to make up your mind that no matter how far away the benefits and the blessings appear to be, you make up your mind, you're going to push on. Every man or woman who's ever achieved anything had to persist. Winners never quit. Quitters never win. Do you know that Henry Ford built over 900 cars before he got one that would run? Wow. I mean, even I would have given up after about 400. There was once a military general who was being interviewed after he'd won this great battle. And he was asked, was it because you were stronger and braver than your enemy? Is that why you had the victory? And he replied, no. It's just that they were just as strong and brave as we were. All we did was be strong and brave for 5 minutes longer than they were. Don't give up. Don't quit. See, we're talking about persistence. We need to ask ourselves some questions, like, what does it take to stop me? How persistent am I? How about this? What has to happen on Sunday morning before you'll decide not to come to church? How many things have to happen in one day before you postpone your daily Bible reading? What financial difficulty is needed before you don't pay your tithe? In other words, how persistent are you? This has to do with commitment. Are you a committed Christian? I hope so, because it takes commitment and persistence to be a success for God. Step number 6 is sowing. S-O-W-I-N-G, sowing. Sowing is another word for planting. Galatians 6:7, we can read, it says, whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Ephesians 6:8 says, whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord. See, what these verses are saying is the blessing follows the blesser. I have to bless others if I want God to bless me. Jesus did not say, if you treat your brother or sister right, he or she will love you. He didn't say that. Jesus did say, however, that if you do right to others, God will do right by you. Some of you really need to hear that, because some of you are having a tough time continuing to be nice to anyone who is not nice back to you. You said, I thought if I would be nice, they would be nice, but they're not. Those nasty, no good people. Thought they loved me. No, it's not about, God never promised if you would do good to others, they would do good to you. He said, if you do good to others, I will do good to you. That's what God said. So stop trying to expect from others what you should be looking to God for. Remember, everything reproduces after its own kind. You can't reap corn if you don't sow corn. You can't plant beans and get grain. It just does. That's not how it works. If you want healing, and some of you I know want healing, then start praying for others to experience healing. If you want blessing, start concentrating on others being blessed. See, Jesus always concentrated on other people's needs. Hey, if you're trying to quit smoking, pray for somebody else to quit smoking. The kingdom principle is this, you guys. Your contribution to others determines God's contribution to you. In other words, what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Turn to your neighbor right now and ask him if they're getting this. Are you getting this? Will you ask him? Okay. Step number seven is praise. Now listen, when we begin to praise God, something happens. No matter how you feel, if you start praying, Lord, I love you, something loosens. Just like Paul and Silas in the book of Acts, when you praise, your chains are removed and you experience freedom. And while we're on this topic, I'm going to say just a couple of things about praise. First of all, praise has nothing to do with your feelings. Praise has to do with God. We're praising God, and praise should take your mind off of yourself. Praise lifts you to where God is. You see, God likes praise. In fact, Scripture says he chooses to dwell, to live, to inhabit praises. God responds to praise. Demons react to praise. And secondly, praise is something that you deliberately choose to do. Praise is an act of the will. It's not quiet meditation. It's something that is heard. Praise is something that is heard. Right now, will you do this? Say, I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Say, you're wonderful, Jesus.
You're wonderful, Jesus.
You see, the purpose of praise is not just to make us feel good. It's so other people will hear. God enjoys advertising. So, man, he does everything in a big way. You never see God sneaking around saying, you be quiet now and have a good time. No way. God, he's a God of celebration. He's an expressive God. And he wants us to have a spirit of celebration as well as a willingness and an ability to express ourselves to him and to each other. Hear me, church. God wants us to experience his benefits and his blessings. Everything God has, everything God is, he's willing to pour into us and through us. Does he want us to be holy? Yes, but he wants even more from us. See, your holiness alone will not bring you the blessings. You also have to be hungry. God seldom places his blessings in your hand. But they're always placed within your reach. They're accessible. God wants you to have them. Therefore, surrender to God and reach for the benefits. So the question I have for you today is, are you hungry for what God has for you? I'm trying to be personal with you now. I'm not just talking, preaching a sermon. I'm asking you if you are hungry for what God has for you. Do you want the blessings? Do you want the blessings? Because you say, well, I don't want the blessings because that would be so selfish. Well, God wants you to have the blessings. So you're not doing it for you. You're doing it for him. And the byproduct will be, you'll be blessed. But that's not why you're doing it. If you want the blessings, now listen, if you want the blessings, you're hungry for what God has for you. If that's you, then I'd just like for you to be honest about that. And you just stand with me. Stand with me and then bow your head. Just stand and bow your head and say, yeah, I want the blessings. I'm hungry for what God has. So you stand, bow your head. Now you may be hearing me today. And you know that you have never actually made the decision to give your future life to Jesus Christ. You've never done that. But you know you don't want to put it off any longer. So if it is you, listen, if it is you who needs to receive a new start, you need a new beginning. You need a new king. You need a new master in your life because you haven't been doing so well with it yourself. If you want that new master, will you just raise your hand so I can see it? Nobody's looking around except me. I see your hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now I want to talk to everyone. Your eyes still closed. I want you to listen as I mention each of the steps to being a success in God's eyes. Let me remind you again, God wants you to succeed. He wants you to take these steps. So listen and see which one of these steps, the ones that you are struggling with. Be honest with yourself now. So here they are. obedience, knowledge, visualization, forgiveness, persistence, sowing, praise.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.